This is Word Fountain Christian Ministries. You are listening to a message from a guest pastor. Be blessed.
All of you, none of us, oh God. All of you and none of us, oh God. Like this song says, Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary, a place of habitation. After all, you have said that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, enjoy living in our homes. Enjoy living in our homes, oh God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can take your seats. You will not believe this. Last night I didn't sleep well. This morning I woke up around 5 o'clock. And I was praying and God began to change my message, what I had prepared originally. And whenever God does that for me, there's a miracle. There's a breakthrough. There's a restoration. There's a new beginning. There's a new thing God wants to do in someone's life. And when we're coming to church this afternoon, I told my wife to sit in the front so they can talk. And you know, it was then I just started reading the Bible. I read the passage.
Find comfort in the world.
And truly, honestly, this is verily, verily, this is the truth. It was when I started looking through my messages and I heard a voice. First of all, the question was, what's your favorite scripture in the Bible? And I'm thinking, oh, wow. So I recited it. And then I heard, what's the second verse, the second scripture? And I went through the Bible, I read it again, they were talking, and so I just left them, let them talk while they were talking. Then I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, share your favorite scripture and how you are called into the ministry. I feel the anointing right now. Oh, Jesus. This is not something I planned. It was in the car when we were driving, coming here. Share your favorite scripture and how you are called into ministry. I know we are all ministers here, but I want to challenge you something by the Spirit of God. That this might give you a new perspective of ministry life. I've been pastoring now full time about almost 30 years. But I started preaching. I started leadership as a leader of a church or congregation. 1975, immediately I got born again. I love God. I'm passionate about God. One thing with me is, if I want to do something, I'll do it wholeheartedly. I'm not a half-half person. If I love you, I love you. If I don't love you, I hate you. There's no in-between between me. I don't pretend. If I like you, I like you. If I'm going to do it, I will do it to the uttermost until I can do it no more. That's just how I am. And so when it comes to the things of God, not because I don't make mistakes, not because I have not fallen since I became a Christian, not because I have not fallen or done things, some things wrong, but I know that, oh, okay, thank you. Appreciate you. You can be in the ministry and be doing your own thing, thinking you are doing something for God. And that's very dangerous. It's very easy. You are called by God, anointed by God, released by God and by the people around you, your leaders. And then you get to a point, you drift away from your calling and start doing your own thing, thinking you are still doing God's will. A very typical example, I mentioned yesterday briefly, was Samson in the Bible. You know, I said something brief yesterday. The purpose, the only reason, if you read the Bible, the only reason Samson was born into this world was just to begin the deliverance of Israel. Remember, I shared that yesterday. And I said, I don't know whether you are beginning or you are continuing or you will finish. And so when you know who you are, whose you are, and what you are called to do, even when you make mistakes, the grace of God will sustain you. But then the question is, how do you know when you have fallen? You have to have a relationship with God. I'm talking to ministers. I'm talking to pastors. I know you guys are fantastic with God. I mean, nobody is struggling. Nobody has no problem. You came from the throne of grace. You came from heaven this morning. And so you just came to fellowship with us and you're going back to heaven. And so some of us, someone like me, I'm still living in the flesh. I'm still struggling with some things. I'm still, every morning, God, let you, oh God, have mercy upon me. But some of you, you're just, hey, move, come on, let's go, come on, let's keep going. There's nothing wrong, you know. Hey, it's Holy Ghost every day as usual. So whether you are one of those onward Christian soldiers, you are marching all the time, no obstacles, no struggles, no nothing, no problem. But those of us who have to climb up, oh God, help me out here. You know, we'll do some things halfway, and then we come up again, then we fall down, then we get up again, we clean ourselves, and then we come up, and then... Am I talking with someone?
Yes,
my favorite scripture in the whole Bible is 1 Corinthians 15:10. I'm talking about understanding God's call into ministry. And I know all of us are already in the ministry. But I want to encourage you. I want to share with you some things the next 1 hour or so. If you can please undividedly give me your attention. I believe that by the grace of God, you will not regret coming here today. The day I read the scripture, 1975, it changed who I am. Remember I told you briefly, those who are here earlier, I was a rebel. I was a very stubborn person. I'm still stubborn. If I want to do something, I've made up my mind to do it. My wife can tell you. If I want to do something, nobody can stop me. Even if you're going to kill me, just kill me. The day I read the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:10, says, but by the grace of God. That's why when he said this morning, I was looking at it, thank God you are in the spirit. Because I came with you, so the anointing came upon you. But by the grace of God, I am what I am today. Are we there now? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And look at the next part. His grace towards me, not you. No, look at the Bible. His grace, God's grace towards me was not in vain.
Amen.
He knew me when I was who I was. He knew me how I was. He knew me how bad I was. He knew me how uneducated I was. My parents were not educated. They never went to school. They didn't know A from B. They were just poor peasant farmers. I was 10 out of 12 children. I And yet the grace of God came to me, found me. The grace of God. No, another word for grace is Jesus. But I don't want to go to that teaching. Jesus came to me, found me, how I was, what I was doing, as bad as I am, I was. He found me. And the reason for him finding me, the Bible says, was not in vain. He bypassed other people. Excuse me. Sorry, can I pass through? Excuse me. Move back. Sorry. Can I go this way? Sorry, move this one. Yeah, move this one. Excuse me. Until he came to me, he said, I'm looking for you. Amen. Maybe I should have gone to, because I haven't seen you for a long time. Excuse me, can I pass, please? Jesus came to me. He looked for me where I was, as messy as I was. Remember I told you I staged a coup in my school. I was supposed to be detained by the police. I was supposed to be expelled from school, teachers' college. I was actually suspended, not expelled. Because I had the policemen that I was supplying them girls. And the army people. They would come to our school and I would introduce girls to them. They would take the girls away and give me some money sometimes. Sometimes they would give me drinks. They would buy me provision. No, those things in those days. Provision. Anybody remember that? Those who went to school in Nigeria. Provision. And because of that, they didn't jail me. They didn't do anything to me. They would just, oh, don't worry. They would come to this school and pretend as if you were going to deal with you. Don't worry. It's okay. Don't worry. Yet Jesus came to me. Yet Jesus came to me. He found me. But by Jesus, I am what I am today. Some of my families are Muslims. Our first grandchild in the family is the same age with me. He's a Muslim. He's an imam in Kaduna, in Nigeria. Our first grandchild. My middle name is a Muslim name. Excuse me. Can I go to this guy? Excuse me. Can you move out of the way? Excuse me. From a Muslim family, excuse me. His parents were not educated, excuse me. When I went to primary school, 1962, I stopped, then I went to 62. I was in and out of school. I was a shepherd boy. My father had cows, goats, so I was a shepherd boy. I wasn't like my wife. Who was born in London, in Royal Hospital. All the nurses, the doctors, 5-6 nurses were attending to one person. I was born in the village in my father's house on a rock. Does it make a difference? His grace came to me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. And his grace upon me, and Jesus upon my life, and Jesus is in me, and him being in me is not in vain. That's why even when I fall, I've committed sins. I've committed horrible sins that I deserve not to be born again. Does that make sense? His grace upon me was not in vain. I will rise, I fall down. Oh God, God, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm crawling. God, please have mercy upon me. And when I wake up, dust yourself, son. I'm still accepted and is beloved. I've had problems. I've been lied to. I've been taken advantage of. But by the grace of God, I am still what I am today. He knew there was something in me, like it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, I think. Before you were born, I knew you. I have called you. I have sanctified you. I have ordained you. My village, to where my would have community road. Does that make sense to anybody? The community, the people came out communally. We dug the road, removed the stones, removed the ditches, and we built culverts and for the cars to go. One of the roads we go on. When you are driving there, you have to really concentrate because the road is very narrow. When my wife went there, she was praying in tongues all the time because it's going down the valleys and they're coming up the hills. She was thinking, oh, what did I get myself into? You see what love can do? When we came back and we go back to just, thank you, Jesus. But Jesus came to my village and found me. I don't know where he found you. So I'm talking about five things, and I hope I'll finish them before we go. Number one is the grace of God. If you're writing notes. Number one is God's enablement. Number one is the grace of God. Number two is God's enablement. Number three is purpose, the purpose of God calling you into ministry. Number four, he introduced himself to me. Introduction. Then number five, the last one. Being faithful brings us into his presence. I'll go over it one more time. Number one, God's grace. If you just want to write the word, just one word. Number one is grace. Number two is enablement. Number three is purpose. Reason. Purpose. Number four, introduction. So if you say, instead of writing maybe introduction, you can say who he is. Then finally, faithfulness. Because Pastor Dukwe asked me to speak today on faithfulness. And so the number one there, which we just read, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. And then that even though I labored abundantly, blah, 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 yet not I, but the grace of God, which was upon me. I didn't qualify. I didn't work for it. After I staged the coup in school, I was suspended. It was in August during the long vacation in Nigeria. We have this long vacation. I think they have it in this country as well. Isn't it during summertime? They have this extended long vacation, isn't it? And I went to church as usual. I was religious. And the pastor was preaching. And he was hammering some points. I didn't know when I got convicted. I didn't know when I dropped on my knees. I was asking God. And somebody that was next, who stopped me? What are you crying for? What's the matter with you? What is there to be crying about? I was giving my life to Christ. I was convicted. I was repenting. Yes, somebody was disturbing. What are you crying? What is making you cry? What is wrong with you? I knew what was wrong with me. He never knew what was wrong with me. I knew why I was crying. He never knew why I was crying. And this is supposed to be a Christian. When I was crying, I pray. Someone who should put his, you know, you just English people. No, you English people. When somebody cries, the next thing you are patting on the back. Oh, sorry. Oh, what is all for? The guy was like, what's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? Will you stop that? Get up. What's why you kneeling down? That was when Jesus found me. That's my favorite scripture in the Bible. But by the grace of God, I am what I am today. Number two, enablement. Oh, Jesus. First Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Are we there? If you are there, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If you are still looking, say thank you, Jesus. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. This is my second scripture in the Bible. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has what?
Counted me.
It depends on what version. Some version says, counted me. Some version says, enable. I'm using the New King James Version. I was always a heavenly authorized version, the King James. Then suddenly I got backslidden a little bit. Now I'm always using the New King James. I don't want to go beyond that, unless I want to make some emphasis. Who has enabled me? Who counted me? 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you stand up? You fly. Okay, sorry. Thank you for demonstrating. I appreciate that. Who counted me among many people? Am I talking to somebody? Do you know that you are chosen out of many people?
Amen.
You are called out of many people.
Amen.
Who counted me single-handedly? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you come out here? 5. You know, they kept, they're actually coming out. Okay. Okay, you're in the spirit. Okay, come on, let me bless you. Hallelujah. You are blessed in Jesus' name. 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 You are blessed in from yesterday, isn't it? Double portion. I always thank God. In spite of where I was coming from, who I was, how I was, he counted me, he enabled me. Am I talking to somebody? Because he counted me what? Faithful. Putting me where? Was I worth it? Did I work for it? Did I bribe for it? Counted me worthy. He enabled me and he put me in the ministry. I didn't desire it. In fact, when I got born again, I read the Bible, they that know shall be judged by stricter judgment. That verse scared me. So for quite some time, I will not read the Bible so that I don't know much, so that I will not be judged. I'm being honest with you. So that I will not be judged with stricter judgment. I will just maybe read one verse. And just, I don't want to know much about God. I don't want to know much about the Bible. Because the more I know, that means you know, so you should know better. And I will be judged with stricter judgment. So because of that, I didn't want to study the Bible. Despite that, he still chose me. He still counted me. He still enabled me. And guess what? He put me into the ministry. This ministry thing, you have to be put in by God.
Amen.
You can't just, hey, I want to volunteer. You can't volunteer. Hallelujah. You can't just volunteer. You can't just say, oh, because I'm a good sports person, like my sister here, this young girl here, you're an artist, isn't it? Are you drawing me? So that, give me, you know, a portrait of me before I go, yeah? So I'll be remembering, I'll be praying for you. It's not because I was the best, but there was something He had put in me. And the reason I came to this world, part of it is what I'm doing right now. The reason, or part of the reason, why He called me and put me into ministry is because of what I'm doing right now. The grace of God enabled me. I'll make a sentence after those 5 points. The grace is number one. Enablement is number two. So the grace of God enabled me, made me, saw me worthy. In spite of your mistakes, in spite of my mistakes, in spite of, He still counted me. It's not how you look at me, say what you think about. You know that we can look at people, say, this one, a pastor? Nah. Pastor, she drove past the other day. She just waved to me. Hello, sister, how are you? She was even smiling. How are you? And she drove past by. And you said she's a pastor? The other day she went to Pastor Sarah's house. And she's always going to Sarah's house. She's never been to my house. And she calls herself a pastor? We are church. She's always mentioning Sarah this, Sarah that. Abigail this. What's her name again? Murayo. We had a girl in my church in London. Murayo. Dang. We'll always make fun of her. She's now a lawyer, a qualified lawyer. And when I went to preach in my assistant pastor's church, I saw Murayo. Dang. We're still making noise and making fun of her. So Pastor Dubois is always calling you. Always, thank God for Mariah. Thank God for Mariah. You know, there's something in Hausa called Mariah. Anybody know what that means? Mariah. That means orphan. I almost called you an orphan. But you are an orphan for Jesus. That's how she is. That's how she talks. She doesn't even care. Have you noticed when she's preaching? She's always facing this congregation. Those of us who sit on this side, she doesn't come to our side. So that makes her a bad pastor. Do you know we qualify people in our own ways? We tag people how we feel, how we observe, or by how we observe and how we feel. But God enabled. God counted the person. God knew that these things will happen. When Jesus Christ was choosing the disciples, didn't he know that Peter was a gra-gra person? You know what I mean, gra-gra person? Most of us are Africans now. You know what gra-gra? Very forward, very, you know, irrational, always making quick decisions. Today, yeah, let's go. No, I'm not going again. When there's a project in church, oh yeah, pastor will be before the pastor will still finish saying, then he will say, can I make a point? Let's contribute money. But when it comes to contribution, he will not give a penny. That was how Peter was. Today he's aggressive. How many disciples cut people's ears down? Come on now, talk to me. How many people? Somebody walking with Jesus, carrying a knife with him. Exactly, that's a terrorist indeed. That's a terrorist. A terrorist with Jesus. What type of born again is that? Am I talking to somebody? Jesus knew how he was, how he will be, and still chose him, still enabled him. Am I talking to somebody? At one point, a small little girl, 4 years old. Sir, are you not one of the 12 disciples? I don't know what you are talking about. Get out of here. Come on now. Should that person be counted worthy of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? But he was. When you measure on people's failures, if you are not careful, that will make you not enter heaven. And the person you are accusing will make it to heaven. Who enabled me and put me into ministry? I wasn't voted to be a pastor. He enabled me. God has enabled you. Amen. It's not how good you are, how qualified you are, but he enabled. It is the enablement of God that you are called a pastor, a minister of God. It's God's enablement. It's God's grace. None of us qualifies. None of us is worthy. If we are to, I always say this in my church. Thank God we have overhead. You guys are so sophisticated here. There's no overhead projector here. It's television screens. Blessed Redeemer. Hey, now wow. Pastor Duke, you've gone high tech. I wish you could have this in our church too. Yes, one day, hallelujah, Mataria Moko Shabayata. One day, we'll get there. We'll get TV screens as well in my church. And when I'm preaching, there's one right in front of me here. So I don't have to be. Now, in my own church, I'm still doing like this. Because that's the only screen we have. We only have one screen in my church. I look at you, two big ones with this one. I always tell my church, if I can start, you know, with our projector, it's at one corner like this. And then it shines on one side of this. And if I go and stand there, my image, my shadow will be on the background of the. Am I talking to somebody? Can you picture that? Now, come on. If the projector is shining, you know it's very bright, isn't it? And if I stand in front of the projector, the image is, the brightness is on me, isn't it? It's only my shadow that will be showing on there, isn't it? Is that true or not? And I always tell the church, if I am standing in the presence of God, in God's own image, and what is in my heart, the evil in my heart, my thought, my intention, what I'm planning is being projected on the screen, people will run away from the church. Am I talking to somebody? The bitterness, the hurts. Maybe I quarreled with my wife and she didn't give me breakfast in the morning. So I'm saying, okay, what about breakfast? She tells me, why didn't you wake up yourself early and make it? No, she doesn't do that, but I'm just giving an example. And I'm angry, I'm quarreling with her. Like when I'm driving, it's me driving, but it's my wife driving. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Thank God I have someone who understands what I'm talking about. I'm the one driving, and my wife will tell me, "Stop! Be careful, be careful. There's a car there, there's a car there. Slow down, slow down." Am I the one driving or you? Was it yesterday? Yesterday, when we were coming to Oxford, we were parking the car there. I was reversing. She was telling me, "Be careful, be careful. There's a car behind you, there's a car behind." I said, "It's not me driving." Is there any witness like that? Oh, my brother, thank you for encouraging me. Thank you, Brother Henry. Am I talking to someone? If some of those things are projected on the screen, do you know that as I'm sitting and preaching right now, some of you maybe have thought, I wish this one was my pastor. Hey, do you think I'll make a difference? If your pastor has not impacted you enough, do you think it is me who will impact you? Come on now, let's be honest. When Pastor Dupe stands here and she's pumping you, come on now, she's bringing you to the biting point. When me, I'm just starting the car, I'm just revving with one leg, and she has brought you to the biting point. Yet he called you. He enabled you. Where you are is God's enablement. You being a pastor is God's enablement, God's grace, and nothing else. That does not exempt you from sinning, but remember who you are and whose you are. That's the difference. Number three. You know, I'm believing God for a new iPad. Maybe we'll take an offering after this one so I can change my iPad. Amen. It freezes all the time, and it freezes at the wrong time. Sometimes you see me go to this thing. I'm just preaching. God, in the name of Jesus, let this thing work. Sometimes you freeze and it will just switch off. Maybe somebody is hearing the gospel.
Amen.
Or buying me a new iPad.
Amen.
iPad Pro. So I can become professional. Hallelujah. Should we take an offering after this one for my iPad? Okay, now. It switched off. Okay, come back. Okay. Number three, purpose. When the grace of God comes over you, the grace enables you for a purpose. When the grace of God, when God's enablement is over you, you are picked, you are handpicked, you are called, you are enabled, it's for a purpose. It's not just for general thing. There's a reason why World Fountain Church was established, in addition to all the churches in Oxford. Am I talking to someone? You are in this church for a purpose. If you were in another church, you will not be serving the purpose to which you were called. You go to a particular university because there's an assignment for you in that place. You are in Oxford, not in Manchester, not in Birmingham, not in Cardiff, for a purpose. The grace came upon you. The grace enabled you for a purpose to do something. Amen? So what are we doing? Look at Luke. That is my ministry call. That's my ministry scripture. Luke 4:18. After Jesus Christ was baptized, he went to the synagogue, picked the scroll of the Bible, the Torah, and he opened to Isaiah 61, which is quoted in this verse. This is my ministry call. This scripture describes me, my ministry. Now, when I say my ministry, I know people are always saying he's being prideful. I've forgotten your name. Pastor Jackie, Minister Jackie. Okay, I'm not a pastor, Sergeant. You are a minister. So you don't have a church per se, is it? But you go to a church. Okay. What is the name of your church? Olive Tree. Did you hear that? The name of her church is Olive Tree. Yeah? The name of your church is Olive Tree. Yeah? The name of your church is Olive Tree. Okay, Sister Morayo, what is the name of your church? World Fountain Christian Ministries. Wow, that's a very long name. Remember, I'm emphasizing the word, you are church. So do you own the church? Do you own the church? So why is it your church? Are you getting my point? Notice there are some people, you tell them, my church is this. Some people say, you are being prideful. You are being arrogant. But that is the church you belong to, isn't it? That's where God has placed you. Just because you say, my church is Good News Assembly, that does not mean I own it. That's where I fellowship. Am I making a point? So sometimes people will say things, people are judgmental. So when I say, this is my ministry scripture, this is my church's scripture, does not mean I own the church. The first church I planted in 1991, we started from 1988 as a home fellowship. And then we started the church in 1991. When I left, it was handed over to somebody else. Even though it was my church, but when my time came to move on, somebody else took over, isn't it? He too has his own plans. He wants to move maybe to Nigeria, or I don't know what he wants to do later on. Somebody else will take over. Am I talking to someone? So Jesus, when he was called upon, and oh my God, the enablement of Jesus claiming this scripture was because of one enablement. When he was baptized, the Holy Ghost came upon him, isn't it? In the form of a what? A dove. That's when the grace of the Father came upon him. The anointing, the dove, am I talking to someone? You know, there was a voice that came, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased with. Recognition. So that anointing enabled him to become this for this purpose. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has what? Anointed me, number one, what? Preach the gospel. Purpose. The Holy Ghost comes for a purpose. You are called for a purpose. You are enabled for a purpose. The grace that chose you was for a purpose. So Jesus was what? To preach. The anointing came upon him to, number one, to preach the gospel. Number two, to heal the brokenhearted. You know, there are so many people who are brokenhearted. Their hearts are broken by their husband, their wife, their job, unemployment. You know, they were sacked, you know, accused wrongly. So many things are happening. Some young girls that are about to get married, this guy, she has given herself to this guy, even sleeping with him, even doing everything. Now the guy has left her for another one. Her heart is broken. Someone promised you money, and you gave up everything. And then when it came to the last point, the pastor said, sorry, I can't give you again. Your heart is broken. Number three, proclaim liberty to the captives. Number four, recovery of sight to the blind. There are many people who are blinded. They read the scripture, but they don't understand. They go to church, but they're not born again. Even those who are born again, they don't understand the full meaning of why they are born again. They are still blinded. Number five, to set at liberty those who are what? Oppressed. That's why our ministry's slogan, you see, always see Good News Assembly, then at the bottom, changing lives, setting captives free from this scripture. I dreamt about it. People prophesied over me. I got so fed up with people telling me, whenever like somebody calls you out, I see the Lord calling into ministry. I see the Spirit of God coming upon you, like in Luke 4, 8. Last time was when I went to Brighton. There was one man who really, my anointing, honestly, I owe it to this man to a great extent. One man from Australia, Bill Zabriskie. don't know if anybody has ever heard of him. He's a great man of God, deliverance minister. After he did the series of teaching with Peter Horrebun, this one ministry in, I forgot where it is now. This man called me out. From God brought someone from Australia. From Australia, Bill Zabriskie called me out at a conference in Brighton. He said, you've been running away. You are hiding from God. Thank God I'm not pointing at you, so you will not think. I'm pointing at this empty chair, so you will not feel guilty. So when I stood up, I was just shaking. I couldn't control myself. I said, God has called you into the ministry, but you've been doubting. I was vibrating. I said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for he has called us. Oh, not again. It was after that conference, I accepted the call. And I went into full-time ministry. We started the church. Then it was called the Sanctuary. Am I talking to somebody? Am I helping you? Purpose. When God called you, maybe you're on his teaching. Maybe you're on his relationship, building bridges, connecting people. You know, there are some people, they are very good. They can do a ministry, they can connect. They're just like when we did our ministry, I connected her with Apostle George. Some people, they will sponsor people just to go and meet another person somewhere, to go for a conference somewhere. And all you have done is you helped her pay the money and she has gone for this conference. And at that conference, she will go and meet with this man of God who will tell her the testimony, the whole history of her life. And her life will be changed. Her life will be transformed. What have you done? You've connected them. Some people in intercession, they pray like our warrior. You know her, Sister Lydia. Lydia Abu. When they came to our church, she was one of our greatest disciples. They came from this Aladora church. No, it's Cherubim and Seraphim. They're almost the same, isn't it? Is it Aladora or Cherubim and Seraphim? Oh, they are the same, is it? And he was a pastor there. He was assistant pastor. When he came, the Spirit, oh, God. One sister, Sister Buki, was the one who connected us. And they were working together. He said, my pastor, if you come to my pastor, you will be amazing. And he said, okay, one day I will come. He came alone. When he came, God moved. He said, this thing is really true. I think maybe it's just coincidental. He went the following Sunday. He left his family at home. He was trying to be protective. He came alone the second time. It was even greater. He said, this thing is looking like real. The third time he came again, he said, no, this is it. He went and brought his family. 26 or 27 years, they are still in the same church. They got born again. They discipled. They went through a discipleship class. They enjoyed it so much, it debunked what they were taught in the Aladora church. On their own accord, they went and repeated the class. I'm being honest with you. You know them. They repeated the class again. That's how they were established. He's our assistant pastor in London. Connected. Buki connected him. And she even left the church before them. She went and was pastoring some connection. Building relationship. That woman I was talking about, Sister Lydia, when I was preaching, the Spirit of God, you know, people call me people developer. That's one of our names. My people call me people developer. When I see you, I can see what God's going to do in your life. And I'm sitting on you. You hate me. You will not like me. I will sit on you until I produce that which is in you. Today, by the grace of God, I'm not boasting. I've raised many pastors around the world. They've got bigger churches than my own. Some of them, I will never have a big church like theirs. Does it matter? It's for his own glory. So I will call Sister Lydia. Can you come around for us? At one point she will run and she will, one time she was in the toilet. I know you are in the toilet. You are hearing me upstairs. Calm down. Come and pray. She wants to leave the church. She said, this man hurts me so bad that he's always embarrassing me. Today, when that woman prays, she can pray for the whole day nonstop. Connection. Hallelujah. For he has anointed you for those five things. Then number four, so we can round up. How does this happen? And this is the juicy part. How does this happen? When you are called, it's like God saying, come, let me introduce you to somebody. Isn't it? I'm going for a party. Can you come? Let me introduce you to somebody. When Sister Jackie came in, Minister Jackie came in, Pastor Jackie, Apostle, whatever, you know, all these titles, big names. She introduced you, isn't it? So that I know who you are, so I know what you are doing, isn't it? When we came yesterday, Pastor Dukwe introduced us. Pastor Dr. Jaman, all these big names. Thank God she hasn't called me bishop yet. Hallelujah. And she will not call me bishop. Because I'm a pastor. She introduced me. She called all these big names. Why do people introduce each other? Number one, to give you confidence, isn't it? So that you know whom you are going to relate with, isn't it? So you know what to expect, isn't it? Even when you go to the GP will tell you, after the secretary has made an appointment, and you go there, they will tell you, I'm Dr. so-and-so, isn't it? I'm here to help you. Why does you went to see a doctor, didn't you? And the secretary has booked you to see a doctor, isn't it? Why will the doctor still introduce himself? I'm Dr. Clive. I'm the one who is going to attend. What did they do that? Give me three reasons, anybody. Number one, to give you confidence that this guy knows what he is doing. He is a professional. Number two, to break the barrier, intimidation, make you relax. So to make you trust him. That's why I'm sorry. Thank God we are all adults here now. Thank God a woman can go to a male doctor and he say, what's the problem? I have got a lump in my breast. I say, okay, take off your clothes. I should take off her clothes. Why? Under normal circumstance, if I come to you and say, take off your clothes now, will you do that? But because it has been introduced, it has been instilled, confidence has been instilled in me, and barriers have been broken. I am a medical doctor. I will care for your need. And then you can open up. Am I talking to somebody? So number one, introduction. Number four. How does it happen? By introduction. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I'm going to rush now. I've taken almost an hour or so. Maybe, I don't know. I'm running up now. Are you tired? Isaiah 42, verse 8. Let me go through it quickly again. Number one, by the grace of God, then the grace of God enables you, and the grace of God gives you hope, gives you a purpose. You know why you are calling, why you are called, rather. Number five and number four, he now introduces you to who he is and what you will be doing. Am I talking to someone? So after he has called you by his grace, he has enabled you and he has told you the purpose of calling you, now he introduces himself. I am so, 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 and so. You will be doing this and that. Isaiah 42, verse 8. Sorry. Yeah, verse 8. I am the Lord. I am Dr. Jama. I am Pastor Jama. I'm Reverend. I'm Bishop this. I'm this. I'm the owner of this car. When we came out here, somebody parked the car here carelessly and we went and left the car open with the keys inside it. And he went away. And we're wondering who will come and park the car. First of all, we met one car. The guy just came and parked right in the middle of the road here. We couldn't get in. My pastor had to drive around. She turned around. And then we were looking around by discernment. Her tongue was the spirit of discernment in her. She said he must be in that shop. And actually, he was there. The guy came and we said, excuse me, are you the owner of this car? He said, yes, it's my car. Okay, we want to go in. He said, okay, I'm coming. He introduced himself, identified who he was. Am I talking to somebody? God identified himself. I am the Lord. That is my name. The person who called him, he is the Lord. That is his name. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created you, the one who created the universe, the one who made the whole world, the man who holds everything in his palms. The one who is telling you, everything is done by me, through me, for me, and for me. Am I talking to somebody? I mean, when you hear such introduction, what else are you going to be afraid about? Can you imagine Theresa May coming in here now and walking in here now with the police, beep and beep and everything, and walking in here, and then somebody comes in. Is this World Fountain Church? Yes, it is. Okay, I'm here with the Prime Minister of Britain, Theresa May. They will even stop me preaching. Am I talking to somebody? I'm telling you about somebody important, somebody relevant, somebody who can make you. Oh my God, somebody who has got everything and everything. I am the Lord. That is my name. He is the Lord. He is the one who has called you. He's the one that came by grace. He saved you. Oh, Jesus. That gives you confidence. That's why me, I can go anywhere. That's why I meet with people, they've got cancer. I am not afraid, because the person I'm working for is the healer of cancer. That's why when I'm ministering, the word of knowledge will come into my head, and I know that this is my voice, because he has introduced himself. Oh God, am I talking to someone? That's why when they were coming, they were talking in their language. I was getting frustrated. I was thinking, they're excluding me. I should be inclusive. And I tuned into the heavenly one. Hallelujah. The I am that I am. And he began to speak to me, and he gave me this message. Thank God for them speaking in their language. Don't do anymore. Am I talking to someone? When you hear his voice, I am the Lord, you tremble, you get together, you gather yourself together. You are, yes, that's what I'm waiting for. That's why when I come to you, I say, sister, I want to pray for you. Because you know who I am and whose I am. I'm coming under his authority. You can submit yourself to me. You can believe God that when I pray for you, something will happen because of the forces of heaven backing me up. If I come to you in my name, you don't know me, you will not even listen to me. Am I talking to somebody? Am I challenging you as a minister of God? Am I putting you in your position as a minister that you know whose you are? You have a big God. You have a mighty God behind you. The one who is, who was, and who is to come. So what are you afraid of? What can they do to you? He introduces himself. I am the Lord. That is my name. When we came in, we were being interviewed. He said, can you tell us your name? Didn't you know my name before? But I spoke under authority. I am Joshua. I knew my name. I knew who I was. I spoke in confidence. I am Joshua Jama. I didn't say, when people call me Joshua, but I think I'm Joshua. Is that what I said to you? I told you who I was. I was confident. My God, I don't know how to explain this. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory, I will not share with anybody else. If you talk in my name, if you go in my name, every knee shall bow. Everything is subject to my name. And that's why you can pray for people in the name of Jesus. Be healed, and they'll be healed. You can give the word of knowledge. My sister, I didn't know you. Towards the end, give me the phone here. When I'm preaching, the phone rings, people give it to me. It's not children's ministry. I didn't know you. Towards the end, the Spirit of God just said to me, this is what she's going through. This is what the devil is trying to afflict her with. And I just prayed for her. Under that anointing, under this same man who said, I am the Lord. That is my name. You are healing us. You don't understand what I prayed for yesterday. You don't understand what has been stopped. You don't understand what has been hindered. You don't understand what the devil was planning for you. And the I am that I am. The one who says, I am the Lord. That is my name. Came in and spoke before it happens to you. Oh God. The people we prayed for yesterday, different things, variety of things. It was because of him. I spoke on his behalf. Sometimes when the prime minister cannot go somewhere, when the president cannot go somewhere, he sends someone, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you one thing. When that person goes, he doesn't go as his name. He goes and they're saying, the president is here. Am I talking to somebody? The president is here and he's going to give us a speech. Then the person who is representing the I am that I am will come out under that authority, under that power, under that delegation and say, I'm standing here on behalf of the president. I'm standing here on behalf of the King of Kings. I'm standing here. Ah, God, my God, I wish someone can get what I'm talking about. You are what you are. You are standing. You are preaching. You are delegated. You are under delegated authority. Be bold and know who you are and whose you are. Know why you are called. Forget about what you did, how you did it. I'm not saying you should be dwelling in sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you should continue in your sin. God forbid, that's not your portion. But even if you sin, remember that he called you. The grace of God found you where you were, how you are. That is my name. And verse 9 says, behold, the former things are what? What is today's topic today? Pastor Dukwe told me, I told you, restoration, isn't it? Faith. Look at that verse. Behold, the former things have come and they are passed away. He used to be a drunkard that has passed away.
Amen.
You used to be an abusive woman or man that has passed away.
Amen.
You used to cheat and sleep around that has passed away.
Amen.
You used to do things, you used to gamble, you used to do whatever you were doing before. Yes, you were, but now you are not. Because the Bible says it has come to pass. It has what? Passed away. And look at the next verse. Our next statement after that. Before they spring forth, before they come forth. What does it say? Can you imagine? Before they happen, I have told. Before, hey, my sister, what's her name again? Bridget. Before you are afflicted with that vein actually that will be blocked, I have told you. Oh, God, may someone get this revelation. You didn't know that something was wrong with you. I don't know whether you knew or not. But before it happened, God knew it. God stopped it. God opened and enlarged your arteries.
Amen.
Oh, God. My brother, I gave you fruitfulness. I gave you fruit yesterday to be fruitful. Former things are passed away. Former things are passed away. Behold, before it happens, I have spoken to you. Before you get pregnant, I've spoken to you. Before your child has another sister or brother, I have spoken to you. If only you can believe that I am sent here by the man who said, I am the Lord. That is my name. I spoke under that authority because I know who sent me. I was under delegated authority. I'm speaking by the delegated authority that God Almighty has made you fruitful. Before the spring forth, before, my God, I have told you, I have declared it. And then finally, verse 5, or number 5, then I will stop on this one. I'll give me another 5, maybe 5, 10 minutes, then we're going to pray. Faithfulness. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Let me repeat again from what I said from the very beginning. By grace you are saved. God has enabled you for a purpose, and he has introduced himself to you. And because he has introduced himself to you, your faithfulness will give you contacts. Your faithfulness will bring you into contact with him. Because of the grace of God, you are enabled. Because you are enabled for a purpose, and he has now introduced himself because he has seen you that you are worthy. So now he is introducing himself. I know who you are. I know what you are capable of doing now. Now I have infused you. Now I have enabled you. Now I have equipped you. This is my name, and this is what you will do. And all he asks for you is that be faithful.
Amen.
And your faithfulness will bring you in contact with him. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 1. I won't dwell too long on this one. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the sheep of Jethro, his father-in-law. Because of time, I won't go to that. I don't know how many of us men would like to work with their father-in-law. Brother Jerry, Brother Henry. Sorry, not Jerry, Henry. Are you married? Are you living with your father-in-law? Why not? I wonder how a married man living with his father-in-law, especially with the mother. Jesus is Lord. But Jethro and Moses were living together. I don't want to talk because of time. I don't want to talk too much on that. They were living together, the priest of the Midian. And he led the sheep or the flock to the back of the desert. Now, to me, that is a message on its own. He led the sheep, the King James says, beyond the desert. I told you I was a shepherd boy before. So when I used to go out with the goats, with the sheep and the cows, I would look for where there's green grass to feed them. And by afternoon, around 3, I didn't have a wristwatch at that time, but I only look at the sun. And then you look at the shadow. You see, because, am I talking to somebody? I told you I'm a village boy. When the shadow is very close to you, you can literally say what time it is. When you put your hand out and your shadow is just close to you, you know, you can know what time it is. That's the time to take the goats to the riverside because they would have eaten and they're hungry. I mean, yeah, not hungry, thirsty. They need water. So Moses, out of his faithfulness, nobody was supervising him. How many of us as pastors, as ministers of God, would do our job unsupervised? Preach us if Christ is coming tomorrow. Be faithful even when nobody's appreciating you. Still prepare your message and pray as if you are leading 2,000 people. You know that, let me be honest. I was telling my wife, I think I'm wasting my time in my church. I have a small congregation, not as big as, you know, you people here. At times I get discouraged. But when I remember the grace, remember I told you my favorite scripture in the Bible, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And when I remember that he enabled me and put me into the ministry, and I remember the purpose for him putting me into ministry, and I remember who said to me, I am the Lord, that is my name, then I will remain faithful. Hallelujah. Moses' faithfulness, in spite of what and where he was staying, he remained faithful. And his desire was to feed the flock. And that's why he did not stay here, nor in the middle ground. The Bible says he went beyond. Am I talking to somebody? He did extra. You know that this ministry work, you have to do extra. When they don't appreciate you, do extra. Amen. When you say give, give, you feel like taking the Bible and beating them with Bible on their head. Give, give your tithe, your offerings. They're still looking at you. What are you talking about? I know you don't have any problem here. So, I mean, she's a great fiery woman. I mean, why should she say, hey, we're going to give an offering. Everybody's rushing. You come to church with your checkbooks all the time. Nobody is wise to leave his checkbook at home. You come with checkbooks all the time so that when there's an offering, you write big, big checks. You know, when I was a young Christian, when I newly became born again, I would count big, big money, all the big, big naira. I would leave it at home. I would take like 5 naira. Then there were coins during my time. There were coins, Nigerian coins. When we go to church, I would say, it's time for offering time. He said, bring out everything you have. I would open my purse. I would empty my pocket like this. Bring out all the coins I have. I would drop everything. What about the ones I left at home? Didn't God know that? I thought I was wise, but God was wiser. Moses went, even when he was not being looked at, when he was not being supervised, he went beyond faithfully. And look at the next verse. Someone help me read it. He went beyond the shepherd, the bush, sorry, beyond the desert. What does it say again? That's it. It was when he went beyond the desert that he came to the mountain of God. If you do the usual, you will not come to the mountain of God. Oh, no. If you look at the faces of people, you will not come to the mountain of God. If you look at what the offering is in the church, you will not come to the mountain of God. If you look at how they talk about you, you will not come to the mountain of God. But Moses went beyond, and he brought him into the mountain of God, into the presence of God. Now, that's why I said faithfulness brings you into contact with God. God now saw his faithfulness. He said, wow, this guy is qualified. I can now release him to his hand. I can now make him. And then the bush was burning. And then he saw the bush. He said, wow, what is this? Sometimes when God is moving, many of us don't even recognize it. All you are checking now, what time is he finishing? He's going to finish now. Okay, let me finish quickly. I'm going to cook. I haven't gone shopping yet. I haven't done this one yet. Can I just get your 2 minutes attention? Can you just go beyond the desert for what I'm about to do now? What he's about to do now? So you can receive the full dose of what God is doing today for tomorrow and for days and months and years to come. Moses now looks and says, wow, this is interesting. What is this? Because he's a faithful man and nothing takes him by surprise. And he said, no, this is unusual. Can God do something unusual? And you want to find out, God, what have you got for me? God, what unusual miracle do you have for me today? And when God saw that he was faithful, he was inquisitive, he said, Moses, Moses. He introduced himself again. Oh, God. Take off your shoes. The shoes were worn for protection against the scorching heat of the day. Back in Africa, when you walk with barefoot, because it's hot, the sand is hot. I know what I'm talking about. Your feet, you have blisters. And I was going to say, don't depend on what you have. Depend on me. I will protect you. I will shield you. I will provide for you. I will cover you. Don't be afraid. Take off your shoes. And the way oh my God. And then it was at that point, the angel appeared to him and looked upon him through the burning bush. And the Lord, verse 4, when the Lord saw that he was looking at the place, he called upon him. And then verse 5 says, do not draw near, for where you are, he says, whatever, take off your shoes. And then verse 7, look at what verse 7 says. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. That was the purpose.
Amen.
The cry of the people. God was looking for a faithful person. God was looking for somebody who would go in the gap, in between. He found Moses, who was faithful in another man's business. And God said, if this guy is faithful to this man's business, looking after cows, he can look after sheep, my own sheep. You know, Jesus Christ went into Jerusalem. The Bible says he looked at the people, isn't it? They were like sheep without a shepherd. That moved God. And when God saw faithfulness in Moses, he said, my people are suffering. I can do with this guy. I can trust this guy. I can give him the sheep to look after. Can someone rise up? Can someone be faithful? Can someone look at these five principles? Can someone walk with God and for God and abandon himself in Christ Jesus and let God say, I have found a faithful man who will go and answer the cry of my people? Being in the ministry, finally, being in the ministry is answering a call for people that are crying. Not for the cry of yourself. That's why sometimes you can be sick, you pray for yourself. It's just the grace of God. You may not be healed. Another person will come and lay hands on you. Boom, you are healed. Am I talking to somebody? The anointing that comes upon you is not for yourself. It's for the body of Christ. Have you learned something? Before she raises up her hand, can we be on our feet? I know I've taken a little bit of time, but I hope it is worth it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. Father, thank you for the enablement. Thank you that ordinary people like us, who have no name, who have no family heritage, who have nothing to show forth, you called us into the ministry. I pray that your people, by hearing this message, will be encouraged. In the name of Jesus. Let them know that it's by grace they are called. Let them know that God is you that enabled them. Let them know that you are calling for a purpose. Let them know that it is you who has introduced yourself that I am the Lord and there's none besides me. Let them also know that God, when you see our faithfulness in our doing, in how we trust you, how we can rely upon you, you will now put us into evidence because of people who are dying. So much evil going on in the world right now. The world is crying. God, give us that passion of faithfulness so that we can serve the world. With these Boko Haram people, with these Muslim and ISIS people, killing people, bombs here and there, scaring their people. God, there are people crying. Send us, oh God.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.
Yeah.